We're holding on Renegade Envelope, seventh line.
Where?
The mission had gone through a number of differences between between the Ktotas of Yom Kippur and the Ktotas of the rest of the year, and then digressed to talk about a few other differences in protocol between Yom Kippur and the rest of the year. So the last distinction, as far as the Ktotas, we said was B'chol Yoy Makrif Pras Shacharis Chola. Well, we said two things. Every day they would bring a pras, a half a mana of Ktotas in the morning, and a half a mana in the afternoon. So we said a mana is 100 zuz, which is 25 shekel. A shekel is a bit less than an ounce. So you're talking about a pound to a pound and a half, approximately, of Ktotas is a mana. So they would bring half of that, about a half or three quarters of a pound in the morning, and the same amount in the afternoon. And we said on Yom Kippur, there's also the Kohen Gadol's double handful that he burns in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And another distinction we said was daka. Every other day, the Ktotas was ground finely. On Yom Kippur, it had to be daka, ground extra finely. This is what we mean when we say in Pitim HaKtotas, they would put it back in the mortar on Erev Yom Kippur, yofa, and grind it very fine, daka, in order that it should be the finest of fine. So the Gemara says, where do we learn this from? Tanan Rabbanan. The Pasuk says about the Ktotas of Yom Kippur, daka. The Pasuk says that the Kohen Gadol should take Ktotas samim daka, it should take fine Ktotas. Now, matam loyma, why does the Pasuk need to mention that it's daka? V'alek v'anemar v'shachakta menahodik. It already says when Hashem first tells Moshe to make the Ktotas, he tells him it has to be hodik, it has to be finely ground. So therefore, that teaches us that on Yom Kippur, it has to be extra fine. So that's where we learn it from. Next, we said in the Mishnah, B'choyim Koyanim Olam Mizrachesh Ol Kevesh, we said every other day the Koyanim would walk up the eastern side of the ramp, and then they'd come down the western side, which we said, the idea is the ramp of the Mizbeach is on the south side. When you go, so the Gemara says over here, Da'omar Mar, we learn elsewhere, Kol Pinas Shatapona Lo Yiyu Elo Derech Yimim Mizrach. Every time you're turning, it should be to the right, going towards the east. So in this case, in other words, the Kohen goes up the ramp of the Mizbeach. He's going to be turning to his right to go to the southeast corner of the Mizbeach, and then from there he's going to start circling around the Mizbeach counterclockwise. So therefore, he goes up the eastern side of the ramp, because that side is closer to where he needs to be. This way, he doesn't have to cross the whole width of the kevesh unnecessarily. And the same thing when he comes down, when he's finished circling around the mizbeach, he's coming down the last corner of the mizbeach that he reaches when he's circling around it is the southwest corner. So therefore, so now the western side of the kevesh is closer to him, and therefore he comes down that rather than walking over to the middle or to the other side or whatever. But we said, but today on Yom Kippur, they go up in the middle and come down in the middle. My time is devoted to Kohen Gadol. The reason is because of the covered of the Kohen Gadol. Now we have the words Olin and Yodin here in parenthesis because the Gersa we had in the Mishnah was Ola V'yored, that he, the Kohen Gadol, went up and down the middle of the ramp. Because we said in Rashi on the Mishnah, the idea is the Kohen Gadol is like a Ben Bias, like he's, so to speak, walking, where Rashi says over here also, Laharis Chashivusai, to show his importance, that to show that he's like a Ben Bias, like he's at home there in the Beis Hamikdash, and he's able to go wherever he wants. With the regular Kohenim throughout the year, we're saying he has to walk as little as possible on the Kevesh and like finish his business and get off as fast as possible, whereas the Kohen Gadol is allowed to show like he belongs over there and therefore he can walk wherever he wants. That said, though, the Girsa that we have over here, Olin Ve'emtza, Ve'yodin Ve'emtza, is not necessarily inaccurate, because like we said yesterday, there are Rishonim, including the Rambam, who have the Girsa that way, and they understand that it means that on Yom Kippur, you would have Kohenim walking in front of and behind the Kohen Gadol when he goes up and down the Mizbeach to honor him, and they would also walk up and down the middle of the Mizbeach ahead of and behind. Okay. We said b'choyim Kohen Gadol makadosh yadav v'agla min akir v'chola. We said every other day the Kohen Gadol would wash his hands and feet from the kiyor, just like the regular kohenim. But on Yom Kippur, he would use instead kitan shel zahav, a golden pitcher. And the reason is my timer again, mishum kavodah shel kohen gadol. Again, the reason is because of the kavod of the kohen gadol. That this way, he doesn't have to walk all the way over to the kiyor. He can use a special keli that's reserved for him. In both of these cases,
why should the cover of the kohen gadol be greater on Yom Kippur than on other days? It doesn't make sense.
Well, it does actually. Well, first of all, we have in the Mishnah, I was going to say, Rabbi Yehuda actually says that these things for the kavod of the kohen gadol do apply every day, because I guess he figures, like you're saying, that why are we distinguishing between today and any other day as far as the kavod of the kohen gadol? But Pashtus, the Tanna Kamma would say the difference is today, since the kohen gadol is doing all of the avodah, all the other days, the kohen gadol, as we said, we learned in the first parak, could do the avodah whenever he wants. Sure, but on the other hand, it's not his thing particularly to do the avodah. But today on Yom Kippur, it is, and therefore, according to the Tanna Kamma, we want to show more honor on that day. Maybe also the idea is the kohen gadol is coming on Yom Kippur to be mechaper for the whole Jewish people, so we want to stress the idea that he's like a ben bias, like he, so to speak, can come in to Hashem's presence or walk around in Hashem's presence unaided, and therefore, like, he's in a much stronger position to plead on behalf of the Jewish people.
Why does he? I wanted to ask you the other day why his par comes before the entire Jewish people's par. I mean, what's the logic in that?
We said on Mem Gimel Amud Beis, the logic that Yaveh Zakai v'Chaper Alachayev, that first his averus should be cleaned up before he's going to go and plead on behalf of others. So that's why he has two separate viduyim on his own par, one for himself and his family, and only the second one does he include all the kohenim. And only after he's done with all of that, only then is it time to be mechaper on behalf of the rest of the Jewish people.
Well, what's the point? What's the logic?
That first he should be cleaned up of his averus, and only then is he in a position to be davening on behalf of everybody else. Al derech shoytatz mechavar shoyt acherim. Like Chazal say, first fix yourself up, first beautify yourself, and then beautify others. He's not in a position to be asked.
That's different. That's one person to other people.
What?
The Jewish people comes before the Kohen Gadol, doesn't it?
In a way, they're more important. I mean, ultimately, you could look at it this way. You could look at the par and the vidri on it and everything as a prerequisite for the kapara of the Jewish people, and therefore that in that sense we're all working toward that. Sure, but the fact of the matter is he needs to come first because of that reason. All right, let's go on. The Mishnah had said, now, we had three different opinions in the Mishnah how many piles of wood there were on the Mizbeach. We had the Tanna Kamma, which is Reb Meir, saying, or actually it said Divrei Reb Meir, that there were four piles of wood, four fires on the Mizbeach every day, and on Yom Kippur there was a fifth one. We had Rabbi Yossi saying usually three, on Yom Kippur four. Rabbi Yehuda saying usually two, and on Yom Kippur three. So everybody agrees that there was an extra one on Yom Kippur, but there's a three-way machlokas, how many there were, how many aside from that there were. So now we're going to get into that and discuss that machlokas in detail. So Tana Rabba, B'chol Yom HaYosham Abam HaRachas, Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, every other day there were two marachos, v'hayoyim shavosh, and today there were three. Now, what are the two verses three? Achas maracha gdola, one is the big maracha, which is what they burnt the korbanos on. V'achas maracha shnei shel k'toras, then you have the second maracha from which they took coals for the k'toras, the everyday k'toras, that is. So those are the two. And then one more that they added on Yom Kippur itself, from which the Kohen Gadol would take coals for the Ketores that he's going to bring in the Kodesh HaKadosh. Give it Rabbi Yehuda. That's how Rabbi Yehuda says it. Rabbi Yossi Yomer, B'choyim Sholosh V'ayim Abba. Every day there were three, and on Yom Kippur there were four. He says there has to be another one besides for the one that Rabbi Yehuda mentioned. Achas Shal Ma'arocha Gdola. One again, the Ma'arocha Gdola, where they burnt the Korbanos. The second one is the Ma'arocha Shnei Shokhtoras. Fine, they both agree to that. V'achas Shal Kiyum Ha'esh. Then Rabbi Yossi says, you need a third one for Kiyum Ha'esh, for keeping the fire going. Rashi explains that what that means is, in case the fire in on the Maroch Gdola looks like it's going to go out, it's getting weak, then they take fire from this pile, says Rabbi Yossi, they take fire from this Marocha and bring it to the big Marocha to relight it and to keep it going. The Rambam learns somewhat differently that that Rabbi Yossi is saying, since the Pasuk says, Eish Tamid, took out on the Gemara is going to explain this Pasuk soon, since it says that there has to be a constant fire burning on the Mizbeach, then Rabbi Yossi says they had a special pile of wood just in order to be Mekayim that. In other words, the Maroch HaGdola is there all the time also. But that one is not there primarily for having fire on the Mizbeach all the time. That one is primarily there in order to burn the Korbanos. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yossi, you need another one whose primary and exclusive purpose is just to be Mekayim that mitzvah of Eish Tamid took out on the Mizbeach. So therefore, and then Rabbi Yossi says you have one more that's added on that day, because as the Gemara is going to say later, everybody agrees that you need an extra one on Yom Kippur. Then Rabbi Meir says, every other day there were four, and today there were five. And the five are as follows. Achas shal ma'aroch ha'gdoyla. Again, one the ma'aroch ha'gdoyla. Ba'achas shal ma'aroch ha'shnei shokhtoyres. Ba'achas shokhiyo ma'esh. So far, he agrees with Rabbi Yossi. Ba'achas, and then Rabbi Meir says, you need a fourth one. La'evorim u'pdorim shalai nis'achlu mi'be'erev. You need an extra one for limbs and fats of the korbanos that were not burnt the evening before. So now the Gemara is going to explain later that according to Rabbi Yossi and according to Rabbi Yehuda, you just put those back on the main pile. But according to the mayor, you have a separate pile of wood for that, to burn those leftover pieces for yesterday. So Rashi described the leftover pieces could be they were never placed on the Maracha at all. They didn't have the time overnight, or they put them and they didn't get properly burnt. Tosfos Yeshanim explains a little bit differently. What we mean is that we can have pieces that were burnt, but not thoroughly burnt. Now, we did learn earlier about the idea of chatzos ois ikul, that once chatzos comes, then any pieces that are on the Mizbeach are considered as though they're already burnt. But Tosfos Yeshanim explains that's only if they fall off the Mizbeach, then you talk about, do you have to put them back or do you not have to put them back? And chatzos is the dividing line for that. But when they're still on the Mizbeach, then ultimately you still have to burn them. And then everybody agrees you have to burn them. So then Rabbi Meir is going to say you need a separate pile of wood for that, whereas Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda are going to say you can just put them back on the main pile. And then Rabbi Meir finishes off, then you have one that you add on that day. Again, the extra one for Yom Kippur. So that's where we get the three respective opinions. Those are the three respective opinions in our Mishnah that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, two, according to Rabbi Yossi, three, and according to Rabbi Meir, four, every day, and then Yom Kippur, you have one extra. So now, Dekolei Alma Mias Tauti Islahu. Let's start to begin with, everybody agrees that there were two piles every other day. So Manolan, where do we know that from? So like this, Omar Cross, so the Pasuk says, we learned this already in the second parak, he ha'ola al mokta al mizbeach kol alayla. The Pasuk says, it is the oila. Yeah, this is, we say it every day in davening. He ha'ola, it is the oila, al mokta al mizbeach kol alayla, on the burning place, on the pyre, on the mizbeach all night. So that means Zumaroch Gdola, those words, Al Mokta, refer to the Maroch Gdola. And when the Pasuk continues, Ve'esha Mizbeach, Tukad Boy, the fire of the Mizbeach should burn in it, Zumaroch Ashnia Shok Turtis, that refers to the second Maroch for the Turtis. So the fact that the Pasuk says twice, a Shurdish of Yokad, which means to burn a fire, teaches us that there are two fires on the Mizbeach. We learned back in the second parak that from there we learn the sequence of them, that you have the first one, that you have the big one first, and then the one for Torah second. So everybody agrees that there are two. Next, Rabbi Yossi, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's it. Only on Yom Kippur do you have an extra one, as we're going to learn later. So now, Rabbi Yossi, Kiyuma Eish Menalei. Now, where is Rabbi Yossi getting that you need another one for Kiyuma Eish? Again, according to Rashi, for practical reasons, in case the fire is about to go out, to relight it from that. According to the Rambam, just in order to be Mekayim, the mitzvah of having fire on the Mizbeach constantly. Where does Rabbi Yossi get you need an extra fire for that? So Nafgalei, he learns it from the next pasuk continues. The fire on the Mizbeach should be burning on it. So therefore, another Tukad. So therefore, that means another fire. Where does Rabbi Yehuda learn? What does Rabbi Yehuda do with that pasuk? He says, "Ahulat sasas alisa huda asa." Rabbi Yehuda would say that that comes to teach us about setting the alisa on fire. Alisa is small chips of wood, kindling, as it's called in English. So Rabbi Yehuda says that you should know that that the pasuk is telling you that third pasuk, the Eishal Mizbeach Tukad Boy, is not talking about another pile of wood. It's talking about the Hatsasas Alisa. It's telling us about starting the fire, with that kindling, with those chips of wood. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Hoya Rabbi Yehuda, Minayin Lahatsasas Alisa Shaloi Tehei Ela Beroisha Sham Mizbeach. How do we know that the Hatsasas Alisa should be only on the top of the Mizbeach, that you can't, in other words, light the fire on the ground and then carry it up to the Mizbeach? Tamad Leimavar, Eshal Mizbeach Tukad Bay. Therefore, the Pasuk says the fire on the Mizbeach should be burnt on it. So we see, in other words, that so it has to be on the Mizbeach. So Rabbi Yehuda says that doesn't teach us another pile of wood. That teaches us that don't think that you can set the kindling on fire down on the ground and then throw it onto the Mizbeach or walk it up onto the Mizbeach. No, you have to do it on the top of the Mizbeach. Omer Rabbi Yossi. But Rabbi Yossi says in the same Braisa, Minayin Cha'isa Ma'arocha L'Kiyum Ha'esh, how do we know that you have to make a wood pile for continuing the fire going? So the same pasuk that Rabbi Yehuda is using about Atzasas Alisa, Rabbi Yossi is using for the extra wood pile. So now, of course, the question is, Rabbi Yossi Atzasas Alisa Manole, so where is Rabbi Yossi getting? He also has to agree with this din that Hatsasas Alisa is done on top of the Mizbeach. So where is he getting that from if he's using the pasuk to teach us that there's a whole different wood pile on the Mizbeach? The answer is Nafkalei Mehech the Nafkalei L'Rav Shimon. The answer is Rabbi Yossi would learn it from a completely different pasuk, the same pasuk that Rav Shimon learns from. Namely, the Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, back in these psukim that we were talking about over here, all of those are in Parashas Tzav. But earlier in Parashas Vayikra, you have, it says, V'nosnu b'nei Aaron HaKohen Eish al HaMizbeach, the sons of Aaron HaKohen should place fire on the Mizbeach. So therefore, that means, Rabbi Shimon says, and Rabbi Yossi agrees, limit al Hatsasas Alisa. From there, we learn about Hatsasas Alisa. Teaches us about Hatsasas Alisa, but Rabbi Yehuda is saying not that it has to be done on top of the Mizbeach, but rather that it has to be done, Shaloi Tehei, Elav HaKoyin Kosher, over Klei Shores, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, from there we learn that it has to be done with a koyin that's kosher, not, for example, a balmum or any of the other psulim, and then it has to be done wearing clay shortis, wearing big de kohona. So in other words, Rabbi Yehuda is learning. Rabbi Yehuda says you have two different psukim, one that teaches us it has to be done by a koyin kosher and wearing big de kohona, and the other one teaching us that it's on top of the mizbeach. And the Braisa continues, Omaloi Rabbi Shimon, v'chital al dait chashazor korov v'gabe mizbeach. So how could you possibly imagine that a zor should be able to approach the Mizbeach? In other words, Rabbi Yehuda, why are you requiring two psukim? If you're saying that from Ro'esh al Mizbeach Tukad Boy, you're learning that Hatsasas Alisa has to be on top of the Mizbeach, obviously a Koyan has to do it, and obviously he has to be wearing clay shortis, because a zor doesn't approach the Mizbeach. So necessarily, in other words, Rabbi Yehuda, if you're going to tell us that the pasuk in Parshat Tzav teaches us about Hatsasas Alisa, why should you need a separate pasuk from Parshat Vayikra to tell us that it has to be a koyan and it has to be with clay shoris? Automatically, one follows from the other. Ela limit al Hatsasas Alisa shaloi tehei ela b'reisha shem mizbeach. Rather, Rabbi Shimon tells Rabbi Yehuda that no, this pasuk that you're using for koyan kosher and clay shoris, I'm telling you that means that just to begin with, that it has to be b'reisha shem mizbeach. And once it's on b'reisha shem mizbeach, automatically the fact that it's koyanim and clay shoris automatically follows. And therefore, so now Rabbi Shimon has that pasuk available to teach us now we have an extra pasuk available, and now we can use that to teach us about an extra ma'arocha. Um, so uh, So that's it. So therefore, sort of Shimon learns it from there, and Rabbi Yossi agrees to that. Rabbi Yehuda. Now, what does Rabbi Yehuda answer to that? It's a fair point. Once it has to be on top of the Mizbeach, shouldn't it automatically mean that it requires a Kohen? Rabbi Yehuda would say, Ime Hossam. No, because if we only had the Pasuk, well, Eish al Mizbeach, yes, it has to be on top of the Mizbeach, but that wouldn't necessarily still mean that a Zohar couldn't do it. Hava Amina, you could have thought, Koya Arab Ovid B'mapucha. Conceivably, a Zohar could stand on the ground and fan the fire on the Mizbeach. So you'd put the Alisa on the Mizbeach, and he would use a bellows to fan it and to get it burning. Kamash Malon, and therefore the Pasuk has to tell us that doesn't work, that it has to adapt to be that a person is standing on top of the Mizbeach. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, you couldn't have known that without the second Pasuk. Rashi also adds that according to Rabbi Shimon and according to Rabbi Yossi, so now you still have to ask then, why does it have to mention in the Pasuk, so according to them, that they're learning from Atzasas Alisa, they're learning it from the words V'nosnum B'nei Aaron HaKoyen, Eish Shalom Mizbeach, so why mention the Koyen at all? According to them, exactly, once we know that it's B'rosh Hashem Mizbeach, automatically it means that it has to be a Koyen. So Rashi explained, the point is that, you shouldn't think that a Zohar can throw it on top of the Mizbeach. So similar to what the Gemara is saying over here, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that we need a Pasuk, that we shouldn't have thought that a Zohar can stand on bottom and use a bellows to make the fire, to start the fire up, standing on the ground and using a bellows the same way. According to Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, we need a Pasuk to tell us that you can't be standing on the ground and throwing it onto the top of the Mizbeach.
A Zohar would have to be how many amas away? I mean, he's not allowed to be next to the Mizbeach.
Actually, no. A Zohar is allowed to enter the parts of the Azara that are usually reserved for Kohanim where it's necessary for the Avodah. For example, you know, we know Kodshe Kodshim can be shechted and have to be shechted in the north, right? And we had previously, last week or so, we had a machloikas about what part of the Azara is considered north. And we had the opinion, of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who said that only the part next to the Mizbeach, only the area from the north wall of the Mizbeach until the north wall of the Azara is considered suffering. So now we know that Shechita Ksheira B'Zohar, we've established that previously. So it would come out then that to Shecht Kodshe Kodshim, according to him, necessarily, actually, it was Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, actually, not Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Whatever. According to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, necessarily a Zohar has to, and also according to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, we said over there, who says the area closer to the Heichal is also part of Tzafan. All of that is outside of the Mokum Hiluch Ragla Yisrael, and yet, according to them, a Zohar would be able to come in and Shecht Korbanos. So yes, a Zohar is allowed into that area of the Azara when necessary. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, you could have thought that a Zohar is able to do this, same way as he's able to do Shchita of a Korban, the same way he's able to do, the same way he's able to start the fire on the Mizbeach, and he can do it by standing on the ground and using a bellows, and therefore the Pasuk has to tell us not. And similarly, according to Rashi explains, according to Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, similarly, you could have thought that that the Zohar can stand on the ground and throw it onto the Mizbeach. And therefore the Pasuk needs to tell us with the words B'nei Aaron HaKoyen that they have to actually do it on top of the Mizbeach.
The Zohar would have to be in the Makam of Shrita, which is how far away from the Mizbeach?
It's good to know. That's what I'm saying. He could be on any side next to the Mizbeach. Once we're allowing him to be in the place of Shrita, which is on the north, in general, then he's allowed in other areas of the Azara when it's necessary for the Avodah. Maybe not Beno Olam Olam Mizbeach, fine, but at least on the other three sides of the Mizbeach. So yes, he could be standing on the north side of the Mizbeach, or on the south side, or on the east side, maybe even on the west side, and then be using, yeah. So it would be possible were it not for the Pasuk. Tosfos, by the way, actually learns a bit differently. Tosfos learns that according to Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold of this concept that it should be possible to do it on the ground and throw it up onto the fire. But Tosfos distinguishes that, you know, we talked about before the idea, Afa Pisha Esh Yeredes Min HaShemayim, even though fire comes down Min HaShemayim, mitzvah lahavi min ahedyet, there's still a mitzvah to bring regular fire, regular human fire onto the Mizbeach as well. So that regular human fire that we're talking about over here, maybe you could think that you're allowed to throw it onto the Mizbeach. It's true that Sasa Salisa, Reb Shimon, and Reb Yossi would say it's not derech eretz to do it using a bellows from far. But when we talk about the other mitzvah of adding Eish Min HaHedyet, maybe conceivably they would say that that could be thrown from the floor, and therefore they say it has to say Bnei Aaron HaKohen to tell us otherwise. It has to be done on the Mizbeach, and anything done on the Mizbeach by definition has to be done by Kohenim wearing Bigdei Kohanah. Okay, so the bottom line is so far. So again, sort of Yehuda holds that there's only two piles of wood on the Mizbeach, and the Pasuk from Parshas, the third Chukad in Parshas Tzav, he says it's talking about Hatzasa Salisa, where he says you need a Pasuk in Parshas Vayikra to tell us that the Koyanim need to do it. And you need another pasuk to say that it has to be done on top of the Mizbeach. Again, because just saying that it has to be done on top of the Mizbeach wouldn't necessarily preclude a Zohar from doing it by standing on the ground. And according to Rabbi Yossi, he said, according to Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, we're saying you don't have that. Once we know that it has to be done on top of the Mizbeach, automatically that means a Kohen has to do it. Therefore, we only need one pasuk. Therefore, he has the second pasuk available to tell us that there's an extra wood pile on the Mizbeach. So far, so good. Now, Rav Meir, a vodim upgodim shlenis achlam ve'erav minolei. Now, where is Rav Meir learning that this that we said that Rav Meir says there's a fourth fire on the mizbeach for a vodim upgodim that were not burnt the evening before, that you make a separate pile for them? Where is Rav Meir getting that from? So, minolei. The answer is nafkalei mi ve'esh. He says because the pasuk says ve'esh hamizbeach tukad boi, and the extra vav teaches us an extra wood pile. V'rabbanan, what are Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda answer to that? They say vav loy darshi. They don't darsh in the vav to be anything special like that. The derech of the language is sometimes to use a vav like that, and therefore they say there's nothing special that it's meant to, that's meant to be learned from it. Which is a general machlokas that you have in a number of other places in Shas, whether we take a vav and a pasuk and darsh in something extra from it, or whether we say that not. The question is, v'rabbanan. So now, according to Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, a vodim upgodim shlenis aklam v'erev mai oved lahu. What do you do with the vodim upgodim that weren't burnt the evening before? Rabbi Meir is saying you make a separate pile for them. According to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, what do you do with it? The answer is mahadur lahu l'marach v'dola. They put them back on the marach v'dola. Which there is, by the way, a machlokas rishonim on that. Are we saying that they can put them back after they set up the marach v'dola, even before bringing the Tumat Shal Shachar? And the argument is that would be fine because even though we know that nothing is supposed to be offered on the Mizbeach before the Tumat Shal Shachar, but in this case, this is left over from the previous day. It's not a new korban of today, and therefore it would be fine to do that. Or do we say that no, it means they would keep them off the Ma'aroch HaGdolah until after they're finished bringing the korban tamid and putting its limbs on the fire, and its limbs and fats and whatever on the fire, and only then would they take these leftover pieces from yesterday and put them back on the fire. But anyway, the Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, minayin la'evodim upgodim shlenis aklam v'erev. How do we know that evodim upgodim that were not burnt up the previous evening should soidran or gabim mizbeach, that you arrange them on the mizbeach, v'im ein machzikon, and if there's no room for them on the top of the mizbeach, should soidran or kevesh or gabim soiviv, that you arrange them on the kevesh, on the ramp of the mizbeach, or on the soiviv, on the ledge, 3 amos from the top of the mizbeach, ad she'osa ma'aroch ha'gdoyla, until the ma'aroch ha'gdoyla is set up, v'soidran, and only then you arrange them on the ma'aroch ha'gdoyla. How do we know that? Tamad leima, asher teucha la'esha sa'ola on the mizbeach. Therefore, the pasuk says that the fire will consume the oila on the mizbeach. Now, Rashi explains, we know already that the oila has to be placed on the mizbeach. It already says in the previous pasuk, he ha'oila al moked al mizbeach kol alayla adaboker. Actually, the next pasuk, whatever. So therefore, why does it say again, asher teucha l'asa oila? It means that eventually you need to put the oila from the previous day on there and have it consumed. So therefore, so they say that, so they say you don't need a separate pile of wood for that. why you're putting them davka on top of the Mizbeach or the Kevesh or the Soviv. Tosfos explains, if you were to take them off the Mizbeach and put them on the Yesod, there would be two problems with that. Number one, Tosfos says, maybe then it would become possible with Lina. We say that ein lina my elas b'roish shem mizbeach. We say that pieces of korbanos that are left on top of the mizbeach overnight do not become posel. But if not for that, if you leave them anywhere else, not on the top of the mizbeach, then they will become posel if they're not burnt by alois hashachar. So here you need to wait until the ma'aroch gdola is set up, which is after alois hashachar, and even more so according to the rishonim who learn that you have to wait until after the tamid is finished being brought, which is going to be even later. So you can't take them off the Mizbeach and put them on the floor or on the Yesod, because then they're going to become possible by Lina, come Alois HaShachar. But you keep them on top of the Mizbeach, or on the Soviv, which is on the upper half of the Mizbeach, or the same thing with the Kevesh, you keep them on the upper half of the Kevesh, then it's considered on top of the Mizbeach, therefore it's fine. Another point Tosfos says is maybe it's also to take them off the Mizbeach. Once they belong to the Mizbeach, then you're not allowed to take them off. But if you put them on the Kevesh or the Soviv, then it's not called taking them off of the Mizbeach, because again, they're on the upper half of the Mizbeach and they're pretty close to the top. So that's it. So according to Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, that's what you do. That's what you do with it. So next, Rabbi Meir, what does Rabbi Meir answer to that? And what does he do with that pasuk, Asher Teichel HaEshes HaOila? He says it teaches us a different game. When you have burnt pieces of the oila or of other korbanos that fell off the mizbeach, then you have and you have to put them back. But we learn from that, the fact that it says ha'oila, that does not apply to k'todas on the mizbeach hazahav. If you have k'todas, the same idea, you're burning k'todas on the mizbeach hazahav, and some of it pops off, then you're not required to put it back. So that, Rav Meir says, we learn that from the word ashatoicha la'eshasa oila, meaning that it's only the oila, but and things like it that are on the outer mizbeach, but not the ktodas which is on the inner mizbeach. The tani Rav Chananya Baman Yumi, the Dvei Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, as in fact we see that Rav Chananya Baman Yumi taught a braisa from the yeshiva of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, that when the pasuk says ashatoicha la'eshasa oila alam mizbeach, ikule oila atamachzir, you're only required to put back ikule oila, the iatamachzir ikule ktodas. You're not required to put back burnt pieces of ktodas that popped off the mizbeach. So according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, we're learning that from this pasuk.
And so that applies to the
He says that you don't learn from that, that you put the Evorim of Gorim back on the main pile. Therefore, according to him, you put him on a separate pile. Whereas Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda don't agree with that. I mean, they may agree with the din, but they don't have to agree. They don't have to agree with the limud, and therefore they say you don't need a separate pile. You just put them back on the same pile.
Does that apply also to the mincha that comes with the levona of the mincha that comes with the korban?
The pashtos, yeah. Well, a korban that's accompanied by mincha, that mincha doesn't have levona on it. The levona that's brought on the mizbeach achitzon, you have is the levona that comes with a regular mincha, not accompanying a korban. You have the levona that comes with the lechem aponim that's burnt every Shabbos, and you have it. We learned in Shkolim that a person can donate levona by itself to the Mizbeach. So yeah, those Bapashtos, I guess, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Bapashtos would say that those are in the same category as Ikulei Oila, because after all, they're all on the Mizbeach Achitzen. The point is, he's saying, not Ktodas, which is brought on the Mizbeach Apnimi.
So here we're talking about the Mizbeach Apnimi only.
So here we're saying, right, so we're saying anything that falls off the Mizbeach Apnimi, there's no particular mitzvah to put it back. But anything that falls off them is Be'ach HaChitzin, we're saying there's a mitzvah to put it back with the provisions that we said before Chatzos, after Chatzos, depending how burnt it is, etc. But we learn that basic concept from this pasuk. Mm-hmm. So again, according to the mayor, we're learning that you have to put them back on the Mizbeach, and according to him, you actually have a separate wood pile for the Evorim of Gorim. And according to Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, you don't need that, you just put them back on the same wood pile, and they learn that from this pasuk, HaShetech HaLa'esh HaSa'olah HaMizbeach. Okay, the Gemara says, "Dekule ama miyas me sifin boi b'yom islahu." Now, one thing we have, the bottom line, we said everybody agrees that there are two ma'arochas on the mizbeach. There was just the machlokas about the third and the fourth, and everybody also agreed that there's an extra one on Yom Kippur. So, manolahu, where are they getting that from? The answer is nafkilahu mi vihoesh. They learn that from vihoesh alam esbeach tukad vod. Now, so they learn from the extra vav and hey, because vafilu lamandal jorish vav, even according to the opinions that don't learn an extra thing from the word vav, from the letter vav, which we said before, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda don't agree that we should learn anything from the vav. Vav hey darish, they do agree when you have a vav and a hey together, that then you can darshan something extra from it. So therefore, so from that vav hey, you learn that there's an extra wood pile on the mizbeach on Yom Kippur. An interesting point, by the way, that Mephoshim bring up is this would work very well in the Mizbeach in the Bes Mikdash because it was a very large Mizbeach. The Mizbeach in the second Bes Mikdash, the area that was available for the fire was 24 by 24 amos. So there's plenty of room in there to set up two or three or four or even five wood piles. The Mizbeach in the first Bes Mikdash, the Mishnah tells us in Midos, was the top of it was 20 by 20 amos. Still plenty of room. You still have 400 square amos to work with. But the Mizbeach in the Mishkan, you have, now there's different opinions in the Gemara and Zvachim, but you have an opinion, which is how Rashi explains it on the Pasuk, that the whole Mizbeach was only 5 by 5 Amos, and once you subtract the area of the Kronos, the area of the horns, the protrusions on the corners of the Mizbeach, which are 1 by 1 Amma, and you also need a strip an Amma wide for the Kohenim to walk around, it comes out that the Makom HaMa'arocha on that Mizbeach was only 1 Amma in size. How do you have room, according to that, for 2 or 3 or 4 or even 5 wood piles? And the answer is necessarily they would have to put those in the Makom Hiluch Raglei HaKohenim. Of necessity, those are going to have to be in the area where the Kohenim walk around the Mizbeach. And it means, in other words, they're not going to be able to walk all around their walkway on the Mizbeach. But fine, I mean, since the Makom HaMa'arocha there was only 1 Amma by 1 Amma, they don't necessarily need to walk around the top of the Mizbeach. They can just stand in one particular point on the Mizbeach and rake the fire and set it up and so forth. They don't really need to walk all around, as opposed to in the Mizbeach and the Bes Mikdash, because you had the wood piles in the different places on the Mizbeach, and you have the Tapuach in the middle and so forth. So therefore, they would need to walk all around, and therefore their whole walkway needs to be unobstructed. In the Mizbeach, in the Mishkan, instead, the only time they need to walk really around the Mizbeach is when they're putting blood of a chatas, and for that you have the soviv, for that you have the ledge, which is up the side of the Mizbeach, a few amas from the top, and therefore they could walk around that, and the fact that there are fires all over the place on the top of the Mizbeach doesn't interfere with that. Okay. The Gemara continues. Eish tomid lamai osa. Now, so far, we've been darshaning the various psukim in the parasha of in Savas Aaron Resbon of Lamer. So now, what is the pasuk when the pasuk finishes off? Eish tamid tukad alam esbeach lo sichbe. Now again, that's another tukad. Shouldn't that mean another wood pile? But nobody's saying that we learned an extra wood pile from that. We darshin al moikd alam esbeach the eish alam esbeach tukad boy. We darshined also eish alam esbeach tukad boy. Now we have yet another shodesh of yokad on that pasuk. Eish tamid tukad alam esbeach lo sichbe. So what are we learning from that? So we need it to teach us what it says in a braisa. When it says Eish Tomid Tukad on Mizbeach Lo Sichbe, when it says a constant fire should be burning on the Mizbeach, it should not go out. That means limit Amarocha Shnei Shoktoras Shaloi Tehei Ela Al Mizbeach Achitzay. It teaches us that the Amarocha Shnei Shoktoras should be specifically on the outer Mizbeach. Meaning, in other words, that you would have thought you're bringing Ktoras every day on the Mizbeach Hazahav. Maybe you should be setting up wood over there, and it should be burning over there, and then when it burns down to coals, then you go in and do the ketores. No, you don't do that. Instead, you have a wood pile on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, and you carry coals from that into the Mizbeach HaPnimi and put them there. Next, Eish Machto Menorda Minayin. How do we know the same thing is also true as far as the fire that the Kohen Gadol is going to carry in the Machta, in the fire pan, into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? And also the fire to light the menorah. How do we know the same din applies to those, that those have to come from the Mizbeach HaChitzon? So the reason is v'dinhu. The reason is because we can learn it with one of the Yud Gimel Midos. Nemra Eish b'Ketores, v'nemra Eish b'Machto Menorah. It says by the Ketores that there has to be fire, and it says by the Machto and by the menorah that there has to be fire. So in other words, we're doing a binyan av. That all of them, it says that there's fire. Now, really, actually, I mean, but not by all of them does it actually use the word Eish. But by the Keturis, it says, Vehikdir all of Aaron Keturis Samim, that Aaron should burn the Keturis Samim, and of course, burning requires fire. By the Menorah, it says, Vahaloischa Saneris, this week's parasha, or Lahalis Ner Chamid. And of course, also to have the menorah illuminate means that it has to be lit with a fire. So therefore, so it says if the pasuk said fire by all of these things, so therefore we make a binyan av. Malahalan on mizbeach achitzen, just like the fire for the keturis is taken from the mizbeach achitzen, which we learned from the word h tamid took out alam mizbeach. Afkan alam mizbeach achitzen. The same way, the other two for the machta for the keturis of Yom Kippur and for the menorah also have to be taken from the mizbeach achitzen. But the Gemara or the Braisa argues, oi kloch l'derechzu, how do you know to make the binyan av that way? Maybe make it in a different way. Nemer esh b'kturis for nemer esh b'machta menorah. Sure, it says esh by all, that you need esh by all three of them. But you should argue, ma lahalan b'samuch loy, just like with the mizbeach apnimi, what you're doing is you're taking from the nearest place that has fire. What are you doing? You're saying that When you're going to be burning Keturis on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, at that point, the menorah may not be lit yet. Okay, we had before that you have the Ner Ma'arabi, that a nest would happen, but it's lit all night, but not necessarily. So therefore, so what you do is you go to the nearest place, which has fire on it, and you bring it to the Mizbeach HaPnimi. Well, then, af machta or menorah b'samachloi, maybe the Torah is implying that for the machta and the menorah, you should be taken from the nearest place that has fire. Meaning, in other words, what you should be doing is, so you have the sequence is going to be that you put coals on the mizbeach apnimi for keturis. Then, in turn, you should take from those for the menorah, which is only a few amas away. And from those, the Kohen Gadol should be scooping up some of those when he's on his way into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Because, again, it's the next closest thing, rather than going all the way to the mizbeach achitzen. Therefore, the pasuk says, "Eish tamid, a constant fire, tukad al mizbeach, should be burning on the mizbeach. Lo yisichbe, it should not go out." Meaning, "Eish tamid shamarti lacha," meaning the constant fire which I'm telling you need to have, which is the menorah, where it says the expression "lahalis ner tamid." Now, it doesn't mean the menorah is not necessarily burning 24/7. Again, we said you lit it only at night. And not necessarily always would the Ner Ma'arabi burn until the morning. But the Torah does call it Tomid, meaning, in other words, that it has to be lit every day or every evening. And therefore, so that fire, which is elsewhere called Tomid, Loi Tehei Ela B'Roisha Shem Mizbeach HaChitzen. That can only come from the top of the Mizbeach HaChitzen. So you're right. If it weren't for that word tamid, then you would have thought that the sequence is you bring from the Mizbeach HaChitzen to the Mizbeach HaPnimi, and then from the Mizbeach HaPnimi to the menorah. Now that we have the word tamid, then it means no, it goes directly from the Mizbeach HaChitzen to the menorah. There's a lesson in it, a hurrah in it, that there's an interesting idea, in that connection that Reb Shamshon Raphael Hirsch brings, and the Rebbe brings something similar in a sicha. So Rav Hirsch writes that the idea is, the lesson from this is that you shouldn't think that there's a separation between the inspiration that you feel of the menorah. You have the menorah constantly burning, representing the fire of learning Torah, the fire of being close to Hashem. Don't think that has nothing to do with the Mizbeach HaChitzen. Dafka, it has to come from the Mizbeach HaChitzen. It has to be grounded in your maisim. You can't think that you can take this fire of closeness to Hashem from someplace else. It has to come from the Mizbeach, where you're showing that you're burning the animals of Korbanos, and with that, you're burning your own Nefesh HaBahamis. In honor of Hashem, and then from there you take that fire to illuminate the other areas of your life. The Rebbe talks about similarly in a sicha in Chelik Yud Zayin, a similar idea. First of all, the Rebbe talks over there about an interesting idea. What would happen if there's actually no fire on the Rebbe talks about this, that we're saying that the menorah has to be lit from the mizbeach. Is this fundamentally a din in the menorah, or is it fundamentally a din in the mizbeach? If you say it's fundamentally a din in the menorah, then it would be a lachatchila dika thing. If you have fire on the mizbeach hachitzen, then you take from that for the menorah. What if no fire is available? What if the fire on the mizbeach hachitzen went out? Then you'd have to take fire from someplace else because there's still a mitzvah to light the menorah. As opposed to if we say it's a din in the mizbeach, and the Rebbe says that's implied by the fact that we're talking the context of the psukim over here is about the mizbeach, not about the menorah, then it means it has to dafka be that way. No mizbeach, no menorah.
And the hadal from it is the same idea that it means, in other words, that it means that a person's, again, it means that a person's closeness to the Eivishter and a person's limud atorah and all has to be grounded on and predicated on his practical maisim, which is represented by the Mizbeach HaChitzon. And the Rebbe also focuses on the fact the Mizbeach HaChitzon is outside. It's in the outside world, so to speak, not in the higher level of the Heichel, where the Menorah is. But nevertheless, you need that in order to be able to have your menorah. You need what's chitzah. You need what's further out. You need practical maisim, even though those are on the face of it further away from elikus than machshava and dibur. You still need them. And also, the idea is therefore that the yoshev oil, that the yid who's sitting in the bais medrash learning Torah, depends on and has to work with the guy on the outside and light his fire and inspire him with Torah before he can go and light his own fire and inspire himself. Okay, getting back to the Gemara. Lamadnu eish l'menorah. Okay, so far from the word tomid, we learned that this applies to the fire of the menorah, that it has to be taken from the Mizbeach HaChitzon. Eish l'machta minayin. Where do we know the same thing is true of the fire for the machta that the Kohen Gadol was carrying into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? So again, the dinhu. Again, let's try to make a binyan ab. Nemre eish b'machta v'nemre eish b'menorah. Again, you need fire for the machta. You need fire for the menorah. So again, ma'alahalon al gabim mizbech hachitzin afkara mizbech hachitzin. Same idea that we're going to learn by a binyan ab, but that just like the one for the menorah has to be brought for the Mizbeach HaChitzon, and we just established that because of the word Tamid, so the one for the Kodesh HaKadoshim also has to be taken from the Mizbeach HaChitzon. But again, oy kloch l'derech zu, but maybe you can learn differently. Nemer eish b'ktoris v'nemer eish b'machta. We said that there's fire, it says, by the ktoris, the everyday ktoris, and fire by the machta. And again, ma'alahalon v'somochloy afkan v'somochloy. The one for the everyday ktoris came from the nearest place where fire is available, namely the Mizbeach HaChitzon. So maybe the one for the Kodesh HaKadoshim should come from the nearest place where fire is available, namely the Mizbeach HaPnimi. No, Talmud Leimar. V'lokach malaya machta gachla esh me'ala Mizbeach milifnei Hashem. It says you should take a pan full of coals of fire from the Mizbeach, mi lifnei Hashem, from before Hashem. Now that implies, in other words, that you're talking about a Mizbeach, that only part of it is lifnei Hashem. So ezel Mizbeach, shemitzase, lifnei Hashem, bein kule, lifnei Hashem, which Mizbeach is only part of it before Hashem, and not the whole thing. Now the Mizbeach HaZahav, the Mizbeach HaPnimi, is not like that. The whole thing is lifnei Hashem. It's inside the Heichel, right in front of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and therefore, in that sense, the whole thing is lifnei Hashem. So therefore, we have to be looking at the Mizbeach HaChitzon, it's outside, so only one side of it can be said to be lifnei Hashem, the side that's closest to the Heichel, the west side. So Hevi Em is a Mizbeach HaChitzon. So that means that it's a Mizbeach HaChitzon, and you say that it means, in other words, that he has to be taking the lifnei Hashem from the west side of it. So then the question is, so why do you need two things? We have to have both phrases in the pasuk, me'ala mizbeach and milifnei Hashem. We couldn't have just had the word milifnei Hashem, which we just said automatically tells us the mizbeach hachitzon, and we would have understood from that everything else that we need, and we wouldn't have needed the words me'ala mizbeach. So because like this, again, if it only said me'alam mizbeach, havam in amayim mizbeach, mizbeach plimi, then you would think that it means the inu mizbeach, kosa rachmona milifnei Hashem. So we just said milifnei Hashem means a mizbeach where only part of it is lifnei Hashem, and that is the mizbeach hachitzei. But the kosa rachmona milifnei Hashem, but if it only said milifnei Hashem, havam in a davka milifnei Hashem, then you might have thought it means davka that you have to take from the part that is lifnei Hashem. Rashi says davka the part of the mizbeach, which is directly in front of the entrance of the heichel. Avo mehai gisa, mehai gisa. But if you were to take from other side of the west side of the mizbeach hachitzen, that is, but not from directly in front of the door. Emaloi, maybe no good. Maybe even though it's on the west side, it's not right lifnei Hashem. Tzricha, and therefore, when the pasuk says me'alam mizbeach, means you can take from anywhere on the mizbeach. So l'chatchila, Tosfos points out, you should take from Keneged HaPesach. You should l'chatchila take from what's right in front of the door, but b'dieved, if you took from, and for that reason, the marocha, the special marocha that they had for Yom Kippur, would ideally be in that on that area of the mizbeach, right in front of the door of the heichal. But if they put it anywhere else, and he ended up taking from anywhere else, then it would be kosher. And the Rambam seems to learn differently. At least the Lacha Mishnah learns the Rambam a little differently. You have to take from the west side, and if you take from any other side of the mizbeach, then it might actually be possible. So fine, you don't have to take it from right in front of the door, as we're saying. It could be from the sides of the door, from the other side, but it has to at least be on the west side. That is an absolute prerequisite. Okay, so therefore, so that's it. So we learn from that pasuk, Eish Tamid took out on the Mizbeach Lo Sichbe. We learn that the fire for the menorah has to come from the Mizbeach Achitzon, and then from we learn like this. Since it says Eish Tamid Tukad, then that teaches us that the fire for the Ketores has to come from the Mizbeach Achitzon. Since it says Tamid, then that means also the fire of the menorah. And since it says about the machta for Yom Kippur, that has to be lifnei Hashem, then that one also comes from the Mizbeach HaChitzen. So ultimately, all three of them come from the Mizbeach HaChitzen. Tosfos actually points out, if we're saying that the fire for the menorah has to come from the Mizbeach HaChitzen, how come they didn't make a separate wood pile for it? We said they had a separate wood pile for the Ketores, and we said on Yom Kippur, you had a separate one for the Ketores of Yom Kippur. Why not a separate one for the menorah? And the answer is, Tosfos says, because they didn't really need to take coals from it. You just need to light the wicks and then carry them in. So it doesn't make sense to have to require a separate marocha for it. Also, Tosfos says, since it says Tamid, and we're learning from the word Tamid, that we light the menorah from there, so it means it comes from the marocha gdola, which is burning Tamid. So you don't need a separate marocha for the menorah. You just light the wicks of the menorah from there, and then, or you light a wick, and then you carry it in there and light the wicks of the menorah from it. So that's the bottom line, is you have the machlokes about the various numbers of wood piles on the mizbeach. Everybody agrees there were at least two. Everybody agrees there's an extra one on Yom Kippur. And we said that everybody agrees that the menorah and the ketores every day and the ketores on Yom Kippur, that the fire for those has to come from the mizbeach achitzen.
Shkeach.